Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick VinZant. Coming up in this episode, working girls and racks. Not those racks. Like racks. Like rack racks.
I was 21. I was broke. I was about to be homeless. I was definitely starving. It's sex. It's and different strokes for different folks, right? So you have to be good at coaxing out of people their ultimate fantasy. What are you really here for? Us ladies in the bar, oh, we talk up a storm when someone's mom brings their son in.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, subscribe, leave us a rating or a review. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for all of your support. So I want to get right to our first guest. Her name is Dase. And for the last 8 years, she has worked as a legal prostitute at the Mustang Ranch in Nevada. Was this something that you kind of set out to do, or was this something that just happened?
I was 21. I was broke. I was about to be homeless. I was definitely starving because I had to pick rent over food for a long time. And I thought, honestly, I'm too young and I'm too pretty to be struggling this hard. And I didn't want to just find some dude and get married, and I'm not very good at dancing. So I thought, well, let's go for the whole enchilada.
Did you feel a certain way about it? Like, did you feel conflicted, or were you just like, this is what I got to do and I'm going to do it?
Oh, it was definitely, this is what I have to do or be homeless. It didn't matter to me at all. I was just so happy I was going somewhere that was going to be warm, safe, have food. Honestly, that was all I was thinking at the time.
I completely understand that. Do you think that some people wouldn't?
Yeah, I think some people would be like, well, everywhere is hiring. Just go get a job at McDonald's. And it's like, great. And wait 2 weeks to get paid $12 an hour when I need $2,000 right now, or they're going to throw me out of my apartment. You know what I'm saying? So
was this something that you had done before, or did you start right at the Mustang Ranch?
So when I had turned 18, freshly turned 18, still in high school, I signed up to do webcamming. And I made a bit of money off of that. And all you had to do, or all I had to do at the time, was at night for 2 hours, I would get on there, I would talk to people, I would do different things, they would pay. And it was all just over video. It was never personal. I never exchanged personal information with those people. And at some point, I just stopped doing it. Well, I was dating this guy and I had stopped doing it because I didn't need to. But I had that experience. And this guy propositioned me, this older man that I was not physically attracted to, and he knew that none of the young girls that he was looking for on these dating sites were actually going to be attracted to him. So he offered me money to come and see him, not have sex, just come and see him. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And it turned into going to have sex with him for money. And that was just, I don't know. I think about it now and I'm like, that was wildly irresponsible. Like, I just met him first at a hotel room and then I went to his house. And it was just it seemed very normal to me. He was a very nice man. It was I never had to do anything I didn't want to do. And he would pay me more than I thought that it was worth to do these things, more than I thought it was worth to have dinner with him. He'd pay me a couple $100 just to sit there, but also pay for the meal. And I thought, this is crazy to me.
So when did you then start working at the ranch?
So that wasn't until years later. I had turned 21. A memory dinged in the back of my mind from almost 10 years prior. I had seen one of these Nevada ranches on a late night HBO show. So I Googled brothels in America and three of them popped up. It was actually, Mustang wasn't the first one. It was the Bunny Ranch. That was the one that had been on the television show. And then it was the Mustang Ranch. And then it was this ranch, Sherry's, outside of Vegas. And I submitted an application to all three. They have one right on their website. It's your name, three pictures of you, and why do you want to suck dick for a living?
What did you put down? Like, that's the job. Like, what do you put down on that job application? Like, because everybody gets that question, like, why do you want to work here? Well, for money. But, like,
yes.
Do you remember what you put
oh,
down?
Oh, yes. I remember blowing all the smoke in the world, as you do with any job application. I am such a caregiver. I would be so attentive and personable with my clients. Yeah. I told them I would be the best because I had a customer service background.
Do they know, though, that that's smoke, or are they really like?
I don't know if they even read that paragraph, to be honest with you.
So then you come in, they just kind of like, you come in for an interview, or what do you?
They call you. They call you, and they'll do like a Zoom interview to make sure that you are who you say you are and that you look like your pictures.
Is that kind of ultimately what it's about? Is like, look, do you look good? And then that's pretty much all we need.
Well, it depends on do you look good to who, because you can't just have one standard of beauty here. That's not going to, it's going to sell, but you're not going to meet the needs of everyone else. You have to have every age, every body type, every different race, every flavor of lady you need to have here. So that's part of the madam's job, being a great madam, filling all those needs. So, but yeah, basically, if you've got the right look and you are who you say you are.
So like when you start, like, I think if you're starting another job, somebody shadows you, or you gotta, you know, you talk to HR, you do that kind of stuff. Like, you just go in, like, okay, here's your first day, and you go for it.
Oh, no, no, no. I had never been really in the industry. I'd never worked in clubs. I'd never worked the street. I didn't know any other women in this industry. And I was scared. I was shaking like a leaf. The madam took my little hand, and she showed me the ropes, and she was with me maybe 6-7 hours that day. And training is usually like a 2.5 hour thing. I train new girls now. I'm the big sister now that I've been here 8 years. But so the madam herself personally trained me for all day long. She set me up with two big sisters and said, you can go to her or her anytime and trust their opinion, trust their advice. And she took me into the bar and I said, that guy over there. And she kind of laughed at me. And he was just sitting by himself. And I was like, that's going to be my first client. She's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, and that was my first client.
Do they pick you or do you pick them?
It depends who's been here before. The clients that have been here before, they can pick out the new girls, obviously. And you talk to them and they're like, I remember this one guy being like, this is when you asked me back there, honey. And I was like, oh, let's go then, I guess. You tell me what we're doing here. But no. So I had a big sister. I picked out that guy in the bar that was going to be my first client. I approached him. We had an awkward conversation for 10 minutes. And he said, this is the point at which you take me back there, because he'd been here before. And I said, okay, let me go grab my big sister. And she went in the room with me. And she negotiated the whole thing. I had never negotiated before. I didn't know what good money was. She sold me to him for an amount of money that I was so excited for. I was going to cry. I was so excited. And now I wouldn't give someone the time of day for like 15 minutes for that price. But at the time, over the moon.
How much was it at the time?
I can't say anything about pricing, unfortunately.
But what is, like, what do you have to learn in the sense of, like, right? Like, stick, like, you know how to have sex. Like, what do you have to learn kind of how to do?
So you're not going to reinvent the wheel. It's sex. It's, and different strokes for different folks, right? So you have to be good at coaxing out of people their ultimate fantasy. What are you really here for? What do you really have to spend? And you pick up different things about people that tell you how much you could ask them for in the beginning, because it's all in negotiation. And if you ask for too much, they're going to run out the door. But if you ask for too little and they agree right away, you're kicking yourself because you know they would have spent three times that amount.
So it's not like a set price.
No.
It's a negotiation. Oh, I didn't know
that. And every lady is an independent contractor. So we all have in our heads like a set menu of standard pricing for things. And we discuss amongst each other what we've done for what price recently, just to update each other on like the going rates. But yeah, it's a negotiation.
missionary is this price, but if you want to go this doggy style, it's going to cost you an extra $10. Like, how much of a negotiation are we talking about? Like, every little itemized thing, or just kind of like...
That's going to depend on the lady. I don't really hustle people that hard about individual positions or if we do this and then we do a little bit of that. I just say, this is a fair price. This is what I'm asking for. And if they don't have it, we talk about, well, how can we compromise so that you're happy and I'm happy?
For you, is everything on the table?
No, not everything is on the table.
What is off of the table?
BDSM and backdoor activities. I don't want to be beat by people because I don't trust people. And I don't want to beat anybody because I don't derive pleasure from that, even if they are. And I just don't do backdoor activities. I don't like it.
Backdoor is butt stuff.
Yes.
Are we talking about something else that I haven't heard?
No,
of? Okay.
Butt stuff.
You never know anymore, right? Like, there's all kinds. However people get down is however people get down. Mm-hmm. Now, is that, are your boundaries pretty standard? Or are you kind of, are you the wild one? Or are you the prude, for lack of a better phrase?
I am such a brothel prude. I am. I am like your standard girl next door, good time. That's basically the only thing I want to do. I don't want to do weird shit. I don't want to do fantasy parties. We can go on an out date. I would love to go out on the town with you, but I'm just a regular girl.
Are there some women that are much more comfortable? Like, man, you're doing what?
Yes, yes. There, I hear stories from coworkers and I'm like, oh my God, you're making me blush.
So then, like, how many clients would you say, like, what's your average client? A day, a week, month, like, whatever time frame?
At this point, it's been thousands upon thousands. But it's quality over quantity. You want to try for at least one client a day. And if you're not going to have one client a day, maybe double up the next day or make sure that your big fish is coming in that weekend.
How many do you have to say, like, okay, I can make a viable living off of this?
One.
Just one a day or just one period?
One a week, one a month. It depends on the guy. You don't need a lot of regular clientele to make a living in this industry. There are girls that don't have any regular clientele, and sometimes, or all the time, the people that they see, it's the first and the last time that they're ever seeing that person.
Is it more common to have regulars or more common to just be...
It's more common to have regulars because people are going to fall in love with you or at least like you for a long time.
Are most of the people who come in, are they really looking for sex? Is it just sex or is it something else?
I think they want to be heard. I think a lot of people, I think it's 50% of people coming in here because they need sex and that intimacy. And 50% of the time, they need companionship and they need to be heard.
Is it paying by the hour or paying by the kind of service? Like,
again, that'll go back to the lady that you're negotiating with. I try to encompass the activities and the time in the price that I give.
The reason that I ask is that let's just assume it's an hour.
Right.
Like, how much of that time is actually going to be kind of doing the deed, and how much of it is going to be just like, man, we're just kind of talking? And
I'll give you an example. The very last client I saw paid for a 2-hour appointment, and he spent about 45 minutes prepping for his party, showering, doing all his things while I'm in the room with him. 15 minutes for us to be together. An hour and 15 minutes telling me about Han Solo in the original Star Wars. The cantina scene, why it should have been different than it was, I can't.
I will, as a Star Wars fan, I completely understand this man.
God.
This is one of the biggest controversies in Star Wars, the cantina scene. I respect it.
Really? Is this?
This is a constant source of discussion and controversy.
Okay.
But that is interesting. Like, that's not the thing that I would have necessarily talked about. But so then what's your client like, right? Like, are... And let's just stereotype the crap out of people to make, just for reference, so we kind of understand this. Is the client, is the typical client kind of the nerdy guy, the guy cheating on his wife, the guy who feels like he has to pay for it, the guy who just wants companionship? Like, let's just stereotype the crap out of people. What would you say is kind of your typical client?
All of those men. All of those men, and more recently in the last few years, it's been couples coming in to put a Band-Aid on their divorce.
I don't feel like that's a great way to heal from your divorce is having sex with another woman, but I am not those people. Maybe, does it seem to work?
No. The couples that come in here, that it's a band-aid on a divorce situation, it's the last ditch effort one of them has made in an attempt to hold things together and say, hey, no, I am really cool. See, I'm going to pay for you to sleep with somebody else. And it fucking backfires.
Yeah, that's not going to work. No. I'm a married man. I would never, ever.
And on the
ever
on the other on the other end of that, we see tons more couples that come in here who are just having a good time for the night, and that's it, and that's all that this is to them, and they can go on and have a happy marriage.
Is it exclusively men? Do you see women?
I see women. Yes.
Is there a lot of women by themselves? Like, how what percent of your clientele would you say are just women by themselves?
I would say less than 1%.
Oh, so that's still not a lot, necessarily.
No. The majority of women I see are coming in with their husband.
Going back to something that you said, like when you talked about seeing thousands and thousands of clients, what would you say to somebody who heard that and were like, oh my God, this woman is whatever word they want to put?
I'd be like, yeah, baby. I've ridden enough dicks to ride to the moon and back.
Are some, but do other women struggle with it? Like, you seem to be like, fuck it, this is what I do. But do other women seem to struggle with that?
They do. And I just don't know what to tell those people. It's the same people that are out here trying to control everyone else's decisions. It's like, if it doesn't affect you.
Could you ever see your life changing, though?
When I'm not going to be doing full service active sex work anymore, I want to be in a management position here. I've expressed that to management and they've been very receptive to that. So that's my path moving forward. I do it because I need to educate people that this is normal. Normal women like myself do this, and we have normal lives, and we have cats and dogs, and we try to grow shit in the springtime.
Are you ready for some listener submitted questions?
Yes, let's do it.
How competitive is this? Like, are there a lot of women that are trying to get in this field, or are you trying to find people to do it?
It's very competitive. We get hundreds of applications a week here. That's what the madams have told me. I don't see any applications. I can't put a good word in edgewise for any ladies looking to get into the business, but we're always hiring, and there's several new ladies that start every week. I'm very aware that this is a privileged industry, that there's only 22 legal ranches. They're only in Nevada. A lot of women can't find childcare to fly across the country and make that happen.
Do you have a schedule? Like, do you work like 9 to 5? Like, what's...
Yes, I do have a set schedule. It's 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. All the ladies here work 12-hour shifts every day of our tour. Tours can range from 7 days to... You can arrange it with the madam, but they only want you to stay for 3 weeks and then take a break for your mental health, and then you can come back.
But then, like, how do you work around
menstruating
a woman's natural cycle, I guess?
So we use period sponges from Europe to mask it. They're specifically made for menstruation. We have red condoms. The client can't see it. They don't know it's there. And we don't disclose that information. And I've only had one person ever make me feel bad about it. And thank God I had a coworker with me. It was a 2-girl party. And we just doubled back down on him. Like, you've been married 35 fucking years. You've never seen a period before. Get all the way out of here. What?
But will you turn down clients and be like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing it with that.
Yes. I would never say that to their face. I would never make someone feel offended or less than. If for whatever reason I don't want to see them, I tell them it is an astronomical price that they couldn't possibly afford.
Is that mainly looks or personality?
It's all personality. I'm not sitting there judging people based on the way they look. If I can find one thing to like about you, we can have a good time. But if you're a piece of shit, I just cannot be around you.
Is there kind of like a type of guy that you generally kind of like, oh, that's my type. That's the guy that's going to pick me.
Nice middle-aged man.
How much do you make doing this?
It varies. On a really good year, you can make more than $250,000. Or my best year to date, I did $256,000 just here. And then I still had my OnlyFans, and I still had real estate investments and my portfolio making money.
Oh, so you're investing it in everything.
I've been in this business for 8 years, and you can blow a lot of money, but you're making a lot of money, so you should do something with it. Kind of like a bell curve, like a professional athlete. You have all this time to make all this money, and then it drops off, and what are you going to do with the rest of your life?
Is that what's the most you've ever heard of somebody making in a year?
One time I asked the madam on a particularly good month if I had been top booker that month, and she said, "You are, but it's not the most I've ever seen." And I was like, I was shocked. I thought, well, what's the most you've ever seen in a single month? And she said 289,000.
Is that going to be quality versus quantity?
Yeah, that's the bigger prices are always quality versus quantity. And those are always the people that are much easier to deal with. The man who's going to drop the price of a brand new truck on you for the weekend, he's probably only going to have sex with you twice.
What's the most one person has ever done on like a one-time thing?
I don't think I can say the number because it's still, I'm not allowed to say prices with acts. But I'll tell you, it was a blue-collar man and he put it on 3 different credit cards.
Can you say the number of figures in the sense like four?
It was five figures.
Oh, did they have to go through like tests? Like how do you make sure you're not picking all kinds of stuff up?
People get the ick, and I get it. I'm OCD myself, but we get tested here every 7 days. In fact, you can still see the little mark on my arm. They just did my blood work last night. That's part of our testing. They do your blood work, and you get that repeated every 7 days. So we're fully protected here, and then we use protection for everything, and there's no body fluid exchange. So we're as safe as we can be. And then we have, because HSV 1 and 2 can be transmitted via shedding of skin cells when you're not even having an active outbreak. We have people shower, hot soapy shower right before the experience, even if they just took a shower and they drove over here 5 minutes from their house, get right back in the shower, scrub down. I've had to put grown men back in my shower and be like, "I know you didn't wash. I'm going to wash you." So we're as safe as we can be. Nothing's 1,000%. That being said, we have kept medical records since 1971 is when the state mandated that we have this rigorous testing schedule. We've kept medical records since then, and no one has ever gotten anything. Not a girl receiving something from a client, not a client contracting anything from us. And that's also why that we're required to live here for our clients' medical safety. So I'm away from my husband. This is my bedroom for the whole 13 days that I'm here this trip. And that is so that they can know exactly where I am and what I'm doing 24/7. Otherwise, they can't guarantee the client's medical safety.
Will people ever try to like not wear a condom?
They'll ask.
I would imagine what your answer is.
Yeah.
You ever had somebody back out?
Oh, yeah. That's happened before and after they've handed me the money. And after you hand me the money, you're not getting the money back.
The one that always like fascinates me is like, do you ever have like dads who bring their son?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The weirder one, though, and the more common one is mothers that bring their sons.
That really happens?
That happens way more often than dads bringing their sons.
Do people feel odd about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we do.
I would feel a little bit.
Us ladies in the bar, oh, we talk up a storm when someone's mom brings their son in. And it's clearly an uncomfortable situation. There are certain situations where that's totally fine. I talk to plenty of mothers with disabled sons, adult disabled sons. I don't give a rip about that. But if you're bringing your freshly 18-year-old baby in here and you're picking out the girl he's going to have his first time with, lady, talk to somebody.
That's a little bit. Will women turn them down?
I will. Someone will take their money, but I turn all of those parties down.
Are there men who work there?
There are no men who work here currently because of the way the county laws are. State laws in Nevada would completely allow for that.
What would you say is kind of the difference between people who do this on the legal side versus people who do it on the illegal side?
There's nothing but opportunity. Those women just don't have the opportunity to come out here and do this, like I said, because it's a childcare issue, it's a location issue, it's a support issue.
Yeah. Does it feel a lot safer?
It is a lot safer. And it feels that way because it is.
Do you think that like this should be legal nationwide?
Yes. And legal being the key term, not decriminalized, not just turn a blind eye and give a free-for-all to everybody. It needs to be legal, regulated, taxed.
Are you good at it? They're asking, are you good at sex? Like, do you feel like I'm pretty good at it?
Oh, why don't you come out here and find out? No, I'm kidding. Yes, I feel...
That's a great answer.
I feel like I'm great at it. Like I said, you can't reinvent the wheel, but...
But have you ever had somebody just rock your world?
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah. Recently, I walked a man out about 3 months ago, and I said, look at that face, ladies. Remember that face. That's the second best lay of my life.
What did he do? Did he, like, what was his strategy? I need some tips for my wife.
Good
like,
God, he just laid it on me. It's like we psychologically, he knew what I needed. We were just twin flames.
Is that unusual, or are most people just kind of, I'm just going to say this. Is that unusual, or are most people kind of like pumping away?
Most people are there for themselves, which is fine. It's fine. I don't go to the nail salon and ask my nail tech, like, how are you today? Are you comfortable? Do you need anything? Like, I'm there. I pay you. I leave. For a lot of people, that's what this is, and that's fine.
What is your most frequent request? What is your most unusual request?
The most frequent request is the standard half and half, and that's a little bit ahead and a little bit of whatever position they like.
Yeah, that's really all the questions I got. Is there anything else that you think that we missed, or what's kind of, how can, if people want to learn more and visit you, or just...
You can find me on the TikTok and the Instagram. The Modern Working Girl Official is my name on both of those platforms. I'm really just out here to educate women, especially women who are in my industry and who are looking for a safer option.
Do some women like have no idea what they're getting into?
Yes. Yeah. And I think about all the girls that are out there doing right now what I'm doing here in this safe space. And they're just as naive and sweet and tenderhearted as I am. And they're out there. And I wish they were here. You know? No, I think about them a lot.
Is that kind of a commonality for a lot of women who do this, that they were in a situation where they had to do what they had to do?
Yeah. I don't think any woman wakes up and says, you know what? Today I'm going to suck strangers' dicks.
I want to thank Dasse so much for joining us. If you want to connect with her, we have linked to her on our social media sites. We're Profoundly Pointless on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. And we have also included her information in the episode description. If you want to see more of this interview, the YouTube version will be live on March 21st at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. Okay, now let's bring in John Shull and get to the pointless part of the show. What's your favorite season of the year?
I feel like it's universal for everybody. I feel like summer, however... I'm going to be different and say I actually prefer fall, I think.
So your universal theory is not correct, because I polled the audience. Summer is second. Fall is number one. I personally think that spring is the best season of the year because it's full of hope. I think that people are a little bit nicer, a little bit cheery in spring. But spring is actually last. Fall is number one, 43%. Summer, number two, 38%. Spring, 10%. And winter, 11%.
I don't think anybody looks at spring and thinks, man, that's hope right there.
It's new life. But also Seattle is very dreary in the winter. So maybe I'm just a little biased to that. But I think spring is an underrated season. Lots of promise in spring.
Last week we had 2 days where it was 65 degrees.
We got it. No, we're talking about the weather. I just realized that this entire episode started off with us talking about the weather. I have never really been annoyed by small talk. Does small talk annoy you? It doesn't bother me at all. I actually kind of enjoy it.
I think anyone who listens to this podcast would think you hate small talk.
I don't like talking really about movies or celebrities or sports or things like that. I actually would rather talk about the weather than movies.
I will say fall is my favorite season. Because not only does it have usually the best temperatures of the year, but it's probably the best food.
Summer is the best food.
In the fall, you at least have usually two or three weeks where it's just kind of chilly out. And you have some chili. maybe something else, maybe some stew.
I think like that summer has the best food. You're talking about pie, hot dogs, cheeseburgers, ice cream. Summer has America. The best food.
But are you okay with small talk with people you don't know? Say you're on an airplane. Are you going to be okay with somebody next to you just talking the entire flight?
No, because I'm never going to see that person again. I don't want somebody I'm never going to see in my entire life talking to me all the time. But if it's somebody in your daily occurrence, then you have to make small talk. Because how else are you going to find out if you know that person? Or you're going to like that person? Or maybe you're going to be friends with that person or whatever. Like, you've got to have the small talk to get through anything else. You got to do the basics.
Here's my problem with small talk. Is I feel like everyone's answers are predetermined for the most part. I feel like small talk is the most unpersonable conversation you can have with somebody.
But I think that you have to have that to get to the other stuff.
Okay. Well, is it shout out time?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jay Lopez, Frank Saute. that can't be right. Patrick Carroll, Jay White, Nick Sohn, Gabriel Fernandez, Billy Gleese. Justin War, W-O-R-R, and we're going to end on Matt Sintas Jr.
Cool.
Appreciate all of you for checking us out this week.
All right.
We're back to, I just want your first impressions here.
Okay.
Of, bring up a topic, you just give me your first impression. The royal family and this picture gate.
I'm fascinated. I love it. Both you and I come from working in media. You still work in media. I do public relations stuff. I'm fascinated by it because whatever the real answer is has to be much worse than all of the conspiracy theories. And I don't believe them, but I love a good conspiracy theory.
I don't get it. Obviously, something is way worse than the royal family is leading on, because why wouldn't you now, what it's been almost 2 months? Why wouldn't you just come out and say something of validity? It makes no sense.
There has to be, whatever the reason is, there has to be more of a reason behind that, right? So let's just say it's her health. Well, it can't just be her health. It also has to be something that she really doesn't want revealed. So it has to be not only the reason, but then another reason behind that reason. So whatever the truth is, it has to be so much worse for them just to, like, not say anything. When you're getting us talking about it, it's a big deal.
I did read one thing, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, was that what if this is all a PR stunt by the royals to gain interest in the royal family again?
Well, then they've flown too close to the sun, because now it's swung in the other direction.
Yeah, but you know that it's going to come back around that, you know, we always wanted our privacy and this and that. And I'm sorry, to me, when you are a royal or somebody in that kind of, I guess, celebrity sphere, you don't really have it. I mean, I get family privacy, but it's been 2 months now and nobody knows, you know, you're editing photos, you're, you know, false information, just one sentence.
That's why whatever the truth is has to be so much worse. Like, it has to be so much worse. And people, it always comes out. They always find out.
It is weird. Very weird.
Okay.
All right. Joanne Fabrics.
I hate Joanne Fabrics. I loathe Joanne Fabrics. Joanne Fabrics and Michaels and any of those kind of stores are the only stores that I go into and start to feel physically sick. I feel ill going into a Joanne Fabrics or a Michaels. It makes me nauseous.
Now, let me ask you, are you okay with like a Hobby Lobby?
Nope.
Okay.
Any All of right. those kind of stores where it is just, for me personally, just crap. Like, this is all just crap to me. If it's your thing, that's cool. It's not my thing. But I walk in there and I feel physically sick. Hate it.
Well, good news for you, Joanne. Fabrics filed for bankruptcy, so they may not be around for much longer.
I can't believe a store like that even exists, to be honest with you.
It is. It does shock me every time you see a brick and mortar like that that is still around and has been around for many years. What would be a more distasteful place to you? Hell or spring break in Jacksonville Beach? I can't even say.
Well, hell, dude. I mean, I'm not gonna. I don't care what, like, how bad spring break in Jacksonville Beach is. I still don't want to go to hell. Like, that's a pretty easy answer. Like, the worst place imaginable or Jacksonville? Like, I get the question. But now I see those spring break things, and I just want, oh, God, I want nothing to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be there at all.
And it's, did you ever, when you were in high school or college, did you ever travel from you know, home to go to Florida for spring break?
No, I never did any spring break stuff. Even in college, I never did any spring break stuff. One time when I was 18, I went to Cancun for a senior year trip. But other than that, like, a large number of drunk, hot, sweaty people is something that I would really like to avoid.
Yeah, and now it seems, obviously you can't end spring break. But, you know, Miami had the crackdown. What was it, last year? Now it's Jacksonville. It's nothing about that seems enticing to me.
I think there's also something about it when you get, like, the rookie kind of phenomenon, in which it's people who aren't usually partying or the people who are so hard partying. Like, you get either this side or you get that side, and there's not really that middle ground to kind of balance everything out. It's either the first timers or the, like, I haven't been to class in 6 years timers. And that's just not a good combination to me. I look at it and, like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that.
I will say, in kind of relation to that, so St. Patrick's Day was just this past Sunday. And I had absolutely no desire to do anything. I didn't want to go out to the bars. I didn't want to go out Sunday morning. Nothing.
I'd like a good St. Patrick's Day. I'd like a good Cinco de Mayo. I would actually put those days up above New Year's.
Okay. All right. I mean, maybe if I was 10 years younger, maybe, but not now.
Okay. So
let me sleep in.
Good.
Does the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament, do you care at all about that?
My only thing that annoys me about that is all the analysts acting as if they've spent the entire season watching East Jacksonville Central State University, and now they somehow know something about it when they have absolutely no idea until they looked at the roster sheet 5 minutes before who even plays on the team. So that's the only thing that annoys me, is people acting like, oh, yeah, that's that guy, and he's totally got to watch out for him. They have no idea what they're talking about. Just none. Otherwise, well, it's cool. I like it. I like a good bracket.
Kind of a follow-up to that, the Long Beach State Beach men's basketball team made the tournament with a coach of whom they fired the week before the tournament. So he's going to coach them even though he knows he won't have a job after the tournament, and he led them to their first NCAA tournament, I think, ever. I mean, what a terrible way. What a terrible thing.
Did he get fired because he wasn't a good coach, or did he get fired for something else?
If he was doing
something else, then, like, yeah. stealing office supplies. Like, well.
Not entirely sure, but he seems to be, I mean, he's been there since 2012. So I don't,
whatever. Shake the thing up, man. Maybe got him the motivation he needed. Hope the best for everybody.
Well, I don't know about you, but I put my money on Long Beach State Beach. That's even
their name. I can't believe there's a school named Long Beach. How many analyst experts are there suddenly about Long Beach State Beach, following the team the whole year, watched every game?
I will say this, that March Madness, and for our international viewers, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically 64 teams, Division I, the NCAA basketball. They go into a bracket, they play, and they're seeded, right? So 1 through 16. Sometimes you have 15 seeds, like the Long Beach States beat a Kentucky, and that's huge. I was going to say, I don't think there's any other tournament like that in the world in sports, to where you could have, and it's single elimination, so you only have one game to either show up or not show up. And I don't think there's another sport, pro or college, that's like that. It's pretty enthralling, really.
I think it's a good example of what happens when somebody gets an opportunity. That you can look at this one thing and think that, oh, it's so good and all this kind of stuff. But when sometimes if you give people opportunity, you can be surprised.
Like one shot, one opportunity.
How does the rest of it go? You got one shot. Mom spaghetti. That's the only one not line that I remember from Mom's that.
Sorry, you know what? If Eminem's listening to this, I apologize. But his pop-up restaurant in Detroit, if you're ever thinking about visiting Detroit for that, just for that alone, you should not just come to Detroit for Mom's spaghetti. It's not worth it.
Oh. Well, you don't live in Detroit, so.
Whatever. Mount St. Helens.
Oh, man, I live in Seattle. That's close to me, man. That's a big deal. I don't think, like, and Rainier, which is an even bigger mountain, I think it's always been a bigger mountain. I think that Mount St. Helens kind of, like, lost some height after it exploded. But, like, you see Mount Rainier, which is close by, and then you think, like, oh, that's a massive volcano. Like, you better watch out. Like, we think that we're pretty sweet, but nature's still in control.
If you've ever been on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean and you just look out and you just see nothing but blue to black water, and you're like, wow, maybe we are just little specks of nothing.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about the crazy day that was the NFL free agency swaps, but to be honest with you,
I don't know anything.
I'm going to ask you, yeah, who some players are you won't know. So in saying that, I will ask you, Caitlin Clark, do you care? Do you not care?
Oh, she seems like she's great. I don't know anything about it. I think the ultimate question is always, right, like, what would they do on a men's team? And I think that that's always going to be a big struggle with women's sports because men will always wonder, well, like, how would they compare to a men's team? But she's a fantastic player doing great things for the sport.
Here's the reason why I bring it up is she set a bunch of records, maybe all of them, really. It seems like people are breaking records and setting records at a rampant pace in the pros and college everywhere. Do you think it's because the athletes are just getting that much better?
Yeah.
Or because they're playing that much longer because of the way that we can take care of ourselves comparatively to how people used to take care of themselves even 40 years ago?
I think that just athletes are getting that much better. And that's why I never understand people who are on TV or people who make these arguments. Well, back in the day, they used to be better. Like, no, they weren't. The athletes of today would always beat the athletes of yesteryear. They were always better. The ones today are always better. There isn't technology that gets worse over time for the most part, unless it's a complete decision by that company. So technology always gets better and the athletes always get better. There is no athlete of yesterday who is better than the athletes of today. It doesn't compare. They're always better.
All right, two more things here. Green beer.
Oh, that's cool. Good. Hey, man, sell the beer, right? Whatever you need to do. Diet green. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I think it's amazing in the sense that, like, that's really all it takes. That's really all it takes for us to do something. Like, I'll buy it, turn it green. Like, that's all we need. Any excuse is a good excuse.
And finally, would you say the leprechaun is the worst, I guess, mascot for any of the major holidays?
It has to be. I mean, I hope that people aren't going to take that in an offensive way, but the mascot has to be the worst of all of the major holidays, right? Because you got the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny's above the leprechaun. Obviously, Santa Claus is above the leprechaun. Halloween, any of those characters are above the leprechaun.
That's it, right? Turkeys are above leprechauns?
Oh, yeah. Turkeys above leprechauns. Now, that said, is Cupid above leprechauns, though? I would say Cupid's probably above leprechauns, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, by far, for sure. 100%.
Now, if, like, Flag Day had a mascot, so the leprechaun is the worst of the mascots, but that's because other holidays are so bad, they don't even have mascots. So it's like you're the worst of the best.
I mean, if Flag Day had a giant flag as a mascot, it would still be better than a leprechaun.
Oh, well. Depends on the flag. I mean, if it was like a really sweet design, then I might have to go with it. But I would, my gut reaction is to say no. I disagree with you. But if it was a sweet flag, Be like, yeah, that's a pretty cool flag.
All right, that's it. Let's move on.
All right. So our top five is a different one. We'll see how this works out. Top five racks. What's your number five?
Oh, man. I want to be so inappropriate. However,
that one rack is not going to, it's not on my list because I felt like that was too far. But obviously, that would be number one.
Yeah, let's be that. Men or women, I think that's the easy number one. So,
oh, yeah, chest rack would be the number one rack, but we're not including chest racks.
With that, with that out of the way, my number five is I'm going to go with a cooling rack.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's not something a lot of people are going to have, but I see the purposes of it. Are you going to put a cooling rack above a drying rack?
No, but I think cooling racks are important. I don't think people, if you have them, you understand the importance of them, whether it's for cookies or for whatever, anything coming out of an oven or a toaster oven or anything. They're very important, and they're very, I think, undervalued kitchen utensils, supplies, whatever.
Dork.
How many racks do you have? How many cooling racks do you have? How many do you got?
I mean, thinking about what I have, probably four.
Anyways, why do you have four cooling racks? And just for clarification, how many pairs of tongs do you have right now?
I mean, I probably have 10 to 12 pairs of tongs and four cooling racks.
When have you ever cooled more than one thing at a time? Been like, you know what? I got a lot of things cooking. You can only have one thing in the oven. So why would you need more than one cooling rack?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're using the toaster oven, you're using the regular oven.
And this is happening. Tell me exactly a situation in which you needed more than one cooling rack.
I mean, Taco Tuesday nights when you're making some tostadas, maybe trying to warm the taco shells, take them out, put them on the cooling rack, etc.
Okay.
I mean, it's
so that's not one. That uncommon. That's one thing that you're using. What do you need the other three cooling racks for?
You make pizza.
But you're not giving me an example of when you're using two cooling racks at the same time.
I just did. You put pizza on one, bread on the other.
You made tacos and you made pizza at the same time.
No, it's the two cooling racks for the same meal.
So you made tacos and pizza at the same time.
No. Let's just go back to making pizza. I put the pizza on one cooling rack, the breadsticks on another cooling rack.
Okay, but you have actually done that.
Yes.
Okay, now that would work as an example, because the example you were giving me before are just two different instances of when you could use a rack as opposed to the time when you needed to use both racks at the same time. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways, what's your number five?
You still have two extra racks that are unaccounted for. Even if you have pizza and breadsticks going at the same time, you still have two extra racks that you don't need. I'm just trying to help you save money, and you're resisting it because you just want to have more stuff that you don't need.
It's already spent, so...
I know, but you're going to go farther, and you're going to get another rack, and you're going to get another rack.
Maybe. Maybe I'll get one by the time we record next week, and I'll wear it on my head.
Just think to yourself, do I need this? Do I need this, or do I want this?
Trust me, I think about that every day.
And the answer is both.
Yeah, come on.
My number five is a roof rack. Roof rack is a great thing, but the only problem that I have with it is you got to put stuff on the roof, and you generally don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to go up there.
So I actually have that. So we'll come to my explanation in a few minutes. My number four is a power rack.
Oh, because you're lifting now.
Well, I've always been a fan of power racks. You can squat. You can do it. I mean, they're so universal.
Meat and potatoes.
Exactly. Basic stuff, but I mean they're pivotal to core and strength training.
Okay. For people who aren't familiar, a power rack is basically the thing that you go to the gym and people will be like squatting in it, benching in it, or just standing in it for most of the gyms that I go to. Just standing there, really. Okay, that's a good one. My number four is a bike rack. I think without bike racks there would be chaos in the world. Just bikes everywhere. You got to have bike racks.
I don't have bike rack on my list, but I can see why you would have bike rack on the list.
It would be chaos, man. It would be pure chaos without bike racks in the world.
So my number three is car rack.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can call it a roof rack. I don't know why you would call it a car rack. Yeah. I mean,
car rack, roof rack, oh. Truck rack, muck rack, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, okay. My number three is a clothing rack.
Okay, okay. All right.
Got nothing. Yeah, I got nothing. All right, this is gonna be the big ones. What's your number two?
A sales rack.
I have sales rack at number one. I think sales rack is the best kind of rack.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my friend. My number one is the best kind of rack either way. Maybe better than the racks we were talking about before we got into the top five list.
It definitely would change as you get older. Like, as I was a younger man, the chest rack would be the number one. But as I've gotten older, I found that, honestly, it's probably the sales rack is my favorite kind of rack as I've gotten older. But my number two is probably your number one, which is the spice rack.
No, actually, I didn't even put spice rack on my list.
You're going to have four different cooling racks and 15 tongs, and you don't even have spice rack on your list.
Spice rack is good. It's on my, it's one of my, the few things that are on my honorable mention.
I don't know how you leave spice rack off the list. It's a ridiculous.
My number one is meat rack. Mm. Baby back ribs, a rack of ribs, a rack of lamb, rack of sausage. Give me all the meats. Give me a rack of meats. It's the best kind of rack.
How many meat racks do you have?
I mean, that's a tough question, to be honest with you. I mean, I for sure have two of them. But I don't know if they classify as a meat rack.
Mm,
but
okay, it's debatable. All right.
Take away the rack part of it and just the meat itself, a rack of ribs, yeah. You know, rack of lamb, like, yes, yes.
That's pretty good. Do you have anything in your honorable mention?
Well, I did have spice rack. The reason why I didn't put spice rack on my list is I have one, but it's pretty messy. They're not necessarily always in the spice rack. If that makes any sense. So if I was more capable, I would probably put it on my top five. But because I'm sloppy, it's not. But I have that. I have a cooling or an oven rack. I'm sorry, and then a drying rack.
Hmm.
That was it.
Okay, I think you would have more room for your spice rack if you didn't have all this other crap that you don't need. I think that would be an easier thing. Look, I'm just trying to help you out, and I don't understand why you're so resistant to my aid.
I'm sorry, did you say you have AIDS?
The only other thing that I have on honorable mention is a hat rack.
Hat racks are good. And once again, maybe like what you said about something earlier, maybe I was like 15 years younger. But now, as I get older, I am realizing that I have a full head of hair and I should not cover it all the time with hats.
Yeah, so. If you have... You see somebody wearing a lot of hats, you know that that is a person that's going to be bald or is bald or is balding, right?
Or just very angry all the time.
Oh, okay. That's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, leave us a quick review. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. And let us know what you think are the best kind of racks. I know that's kind of a stupid topic, but I thought of it on a Friday after having a bunch of edibles, and I was like, this is too stupid not to do.